The carpet in the Hilton hallway was that specific shade of corporate maroon that feels like it's designed to swallow secrets. It was thick, dampening the sound of my heels as I walked toward my room, the key card cold against my palm. Behind me, I could hear Marco's laughter, that rich, effortless baritone that had commanded the boardroom all afternoon. We were the stars of the Milan firm, the golden duo who had just closed a deal that would keep the office in espresso and bonuses for the next 3 years. But out here, under the flickering hum of the fluorescent lights, the professional veneer was peeling away. I reached my door, the gold numbers 402 mocking me. I felt him stop right behind me, close enough that I could smell the expensive tobacco and the sharp citrus sting of his cologne. It was a scent I usually associated with safety, with mentorship, with the man who had handpicked me for this promotion. Now it felt like a cage. I didn't turn around. I couldn't. If I looked at him, I'd have to acknowledge the way he'd been looking at me across the dinner table. Not as his senior associate, but as a prize he'd already decided he'd won. "You handled those investors perfectly," he said, his voice dropping into that confidential register he used when he wanted you to feel like the only person in the world. "We handled them," I corrected, my finger tracing the edge of the key card. "It was a team effort, Marco. Don't be modest. It's a boring trait on a woman as sharp as you." He stepped closer. I felt the heat radiating off his wool blazer. He reached past me, his hand resting on the doorframe just inches from my head. It was a casual gesture, but it pinned me there. The hallway felt miles long, empty, and indifferent. I thought about the power he held, the signatures that decided my salary, the phone calls that could bury my reputation before I even hit 30. I turned then, my back against the wood, and looked up at him. He wasn't a monster. He was handsome, successful, and he was smiling that mentor smile that didn't reach his eyes. "Marco, it's late. We have the wrap-up meeting at 8. The meeting can wait," he whispered. "The world isn't going to stop turning because we take a moment for ourselves. You've worked so hard. Don't you want to relax?" The moment for ourselves hung in the air like a threat. My skin felt tight, a physical reaction to the shift in the atmosphere. The man who taught me how to read a balance sheet was now reading the panic in my pupils and choosing to ignore it. I saw the calculation in his gaze, the assumption that my ambition was a currency I'd be willing to trade. I thought about the lock on the door. I thought about the silence of the hotel, and I realized that in this hallway, I wasn't an architect of my own career. I was just another line item in his inventory of conquests. The next morning, the sun over the city was blindingly bright, pouring through the floor-to-ceiling windows of the breakfast suite. I sat there, my coffee untouched, watching the steam rise in rhythmic curls. When Marco walked in, he looked impeccable. Not a hair out of place, his white shirt crisp, his smile radiant. He sat down across from me, poured himself a juice, and started talking about the Q3 projections, as if the hallway had never happened, as if the heavy, suffocating pressure of his presence at my door was a figment of my imagination. "We need to push the Florence project to October," he said, tapping a croissant with his fork. "The logistics are leaning in our favor." I stared at him, waiting for a crack, a wink, a moment of shared acknowledgement. Nothing. He was a vacuum of accountability. He acted like the power imbalance I was currently feeling in my marrow, the way my hands shook under the table, was entirely my own problem to carry. He had the luxury of forgetting because the stakes for him were zero. For me, the office was no longer a place of work. It was a minefield where I had to pretend the ground wasn't shaking. I looked at the man who had been my idol and saw only the hollow space where his integrity should have been. I realized then that the most dangerous thing in the workplace isn't the blatant harassment you can report. It's the quiet, sophisticated entitlement that leaves you questioning your own skin while they ask you to pass the sugar.